The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So, therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. So a year or so ago, I was walking down to the Bottle Inn with some friends on a cold winter night. And we were hustling down the hill so we could get inside where it was warm and get our meal. And we came across a man. We came across a man who was carrying an 8-foot cross on a wheel over his shoulder. We said good evening. It's the polite thing to do. And in his response, he asked us if we had any prayers that he could carry with him and pray for us as he walked. Now, granted, I work in the God business, so to speak. Actually, as do all of you, because you've been baptized. But we'll have that conversation another time. But even in the God business, I am not one to get into conversations with the man who's walking down the street with an 8-foot cross wheeling behind him. And I know, it could have been Jesus. Could have been Jesus in disguise out to test me, but I was not in the mood to be tested, Jesus. However, thankfully, one of my more open-hearted friends stopped and gave him her prayer, and he merrily made his way down Hermosa Avenue as we turned in to get our meal. Now, I don't think wheeling an 8-foot cross over your shoulder through town was exactly what Jesus had in mind in today's gospel reading when he says, "Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me can't be my disciple." Not quite what he had in mind. But if we stop and we think about the common usage of, we say, to carry our cross, it often has this connotation of having to carry this heavy burden. It's something so big that we only survive with God's help. And sometimes it's even used to imply that God gave you that burden so that you would grow and learn. And I say that is a bad theology, because I don't think God is so mean as to give us something punishing so we can grow. As parents, you don't do that to your children. I do not believe God does that to us. And yet, all the same, every time I hear the words, carry the cross and follow me, when I read that from Jesus in Scripture, which, by the way, is mentioned 5 times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, every time I hear these words, I have this immediate response of unworthiness. I start to question, have I really done all that I can in the name of Jesus? And I wonder if I've let my Christianity show so that others know I'm a believer. And this is from someone who walks around in a black shirt and a white collar, and I wonder if I'm showing enough. I wonder if I've really embraced Jesus' love and given it away to others as much as I can. And I almost go into this panic, and I start tallying up, okay, Rachel, what have been your good deeds this past week that you have freely done? And what loving acts have I committed? And am I going to measure up when God looks at me and says, so what did you do? I mean, clearly, there's more to be done. There are more hungry to feed. There's more poor to clothe. There are more children to care for. There are more homeless to get off of the streets. And I need to get going, and there is no time to rest. And Jesus called me, and I have failed. Anybody else ever get on that hamster wheel? Or as I like to call it, a shame spiral? But I end up going down that rabbit hole when I engage in the highly risky behavior of reading and interpreting one line of scripture in isolation without reading what is around it. That is always a bad idea. So if we pull back and we look at the entirety of what Jesus is saying, we might realize there isn't a reason to go into a shame spiral because we've all failed. And while I say we do need to look at the larger context, I admit Jesus' words today are not lighthearted, loving Jesus. They are serious, deep, hard, loving, profound, loving Jesus. I mean, he says, hate your family, hate your life, carry a cross, give up all your possessions. Great. Thanks be to God. All right. It's such a good passage to delve into as we're all back ready for the program year to start, getting into our church habits again. Awesome reading. But, again, if we look at all of Jesus' demands together, it sheds light on what Jesus is really getting to. Being a Christian is going to be hard. What Jesus is really asking is, where does God rank in your life? Are you willing to put your relationship with God above everyone else? Jesus doesn't expect us to hate our family because we follow Jesus, though it was a risk in Jesus' day, just as it is now in some ways. But will you put God before your family, or even put God in the midst of your family? When was the last time you talked about God in any meaningful way with another member of your family? Jesus goes on, are you willing to sacrifice your own life? Are you willing to make hard decisions? Are you willing to go against what culture tells us every second? Are we willing to go against that and follow Jesus? Jesus' metaphor of building a tower or waging war, these metaphors are about being prepared to follow. Knowing, he wants us to know exactly what are we going to get into when we call ourselves Christian. We are not to be blithe, wishy-washy, passive, occasional followers of Jesus when it fits my schedule. Jesus is demanding that we actively do our best to intentionally follow the way of Christ. And sometimes that means making hard or even scary, might even seem risky choices. Like talking to the man with the 8-foot cross across his shoulder in the middle of, you know, the evening. Or maybe it's welcoming the homeless person to worship with us. Or it's taking a look at your finances and figuring out what percentage you actually give to God. That would be the church, which people get mad when I ask that, even though I will tell you I do it myself. What are my priorities? Sometimes it's making the choice for church first or a church activity first over brunch, golf, football, or as all clergy call it these days, the nefarious weekend youth sports complex. Are you willing to pray when and where others might actually hear you? Not to be seen by them, but to be faithful to your God. Taking up the cross of choosing God first does not present easy or clear-cut choices, but Jesus wants us to realize we are making a choice. We make a choice to be Christian through our baptism and our confirmation, and Jesus is asking us to think today, how are we doing following through on that choice? It is estimated that we make 35,000 choices a day. 35,000. Jesus is asking us, not as a litmus test, not as a win-lose, not to shame us, but Jesus is asking us seriously, how many of those 35,000 choices are informed by our faith? That's what the heart of the gospel is about today. Rather than being told to hate everyone and to give everything away, simply, how are you following Jesus? How is your faith evident in your daily living? What do you do to make Jesus known? And as I said, there are no clear-cut choices. And Jesus isn't into shaming us when we make our choice. Jesus doesn't even shame us when we make the wrong choice. Jesus does hope we'll realize it's the wrong choice and that we'll get back into better relationship and change our ways. But there aren't clear-cut choices always. So when you find yourselves on the soccer field or surfing on Sunday morning, ask yourself, what can you do to make Jesus known by your words and actions to those around you? How can you live your faith in that moment? When you know you aren't going to give money to the homeless person, can you at least look that person in the face? Bid them a good day and see God's belovedness within them. And maybe even if the 8-foot cross isn't your style, or maybe a smaller one around your neck or one on the wall, Or maybe it's just by showing Jesus' love to others in your action. Are you willing to carry the cross of faith with Jesus? So what do we do with our 35,000 choices a day? How do we know that we're on track to making the right choice, the choice of the cross? I say that we pray. So let us pray. Jesus, you challenge us with words that are often beyond our comprehension, much less within our abilities to accomplish. But know that your words matter to us, and we strive to listen to them. Receive our intent, our wholeheartedness to live our lives according to your witness. Hear our prayer at the beginning and end of every day, that our words and actions may be a living expression of our faith. Guide the innumerable decisions we make each day, that our prayer may be more than words, but instead may be a dedication, a plea for guidance, that all we say and do may be of you. We pray in your most gracious name. Amen.